When I was a teenager and had first gotten my driver's license, my mom discovered that I liked to drive so much that I would run her errands to the grocery store. The problem was, every time she sent me to the store with just enough money. She knew those prices. She was really good with numbers, and she also knew that teenagers feel very free to keep the change. She never let me down. I always had enough, but I still worried and did my own feeble calculations along the way. I kept thinking, what if I run out of money? God doesn't send us to the store with just enough. God gives to us in abundance. We needn't count every cost we incur against every penny we have. God has given to us in abundance, spiritually and materially. And recognizing that generosity, a primary spiritual practice for every human being should be gratitude. In the story from Luke today, only one healed man practiced gratitude. Jesus told him, after that, your faith has made you well. Now, he didn't know of the man's faith before the healing, but he did know that a person whose primary stance is gratitude will live a whole and peaceful and meaningful life. If you look through the Bible, you will see that it frequently uses the concepts of wellness, wholeness, and salvation almost interchangeably. So Jesus was saying, your faith has made you well, has made you whole, and has saved you. Now, most of us think that gratitude is an emotion, something that may or may not come over us at a particular time, but it is not an emotion. It is a spiritual practice. We don't passively feel it. We decide to practice it. And we become what we practice. If we continually worry, we become anxiety incarnate. If we continually thank, we become gratitude incarnate. A book called The Wisest One in the Room has a whole chapter called The Primacy of Behavior. It talks about how behavior forms us. And it talks about something from William James, who said, we feel sorry because we cry. Angry because we strike. Afraid because we tremble. And not that we cry, strike, or tremble because we are sorry, angry, or fearful. The behavior forms us. It is also called a virtuous cycle. Act like a happy person, and you will find it much easier to be one. Act like a grateful person, and you will be formed into a grateful person. It is the primacy of behavior. If we practice gratitude, we are formed, we're changed into grateful and grace-filled persons. The philosophers call this positive stance eudaimonia, the broader sense of well-being that comes with thinking that one's life is worthwhile, meaningful, and well-lived. Eudaimonia, that U, E-U, should sound very familiar to you in your vocabulary. Eulogy is good words. Euthanasia is a good death. Eudaimonia means a good spirit. That good spirit comes not because you add up individual gifts given to you moment to moment. It is more about the meaning we choose to give to our experiences. 9 lepers saw their experience with Jesus as a transaction. 1 saw it as a gift, a reason for gratitude, for living in the good spirit of gratitude, for healing and wholeness and restoration. Last week, Jesus told us not to worry about having enough. He said a mustard seed's worth is all we need. That recognition of God's having saved us and the willingness to ask for faith means that we have enough. We're open to it. Practicing gratitude changes an individual's life, and it changes the life of a community like St. Peter's. Your gratitude for this loving church family and your generosity acknowledging that gift has helped our church make the world better for our neighbors, for people we don't even know. Now think about the gospel story. The man who showed gratitude was an outsider, a despised minority, a Samaritan. That identification emphasizes that the healed men did not earn their healing by their adherence to the right doctrine or their practice of the correct religious rites. Jesus healed as God heals each of us out of abundant grace and forgiveness, not as part of a transaction or as a reward for running with the right crowd. When we live in gratitude, we are not bound by mood or emotion. We are formed by will, our will and God's. And so we are free of the capriciousness of human experience and mood. A man named David Foster Wallace once wrote of this freedom, "The really important kind of freedom involves attention, awareness, and discipline and effort, and being able truly to care about other people and to sacrifice for them over and over. That is real freedom." We are free because God has given us more than enough. We can heal from past wounds, past mistakes, and that gift of abundance gives us the freedom to live in and be formed by gratitude. In the incarnation of Jesus, God has showed us that God knows exactly what this trip through mortality costs. But he doesn't give us just enough to get home. He gives in abundance so that we can share forgiveness, kindness, generosity. And we share those gifts not out of obligation, but out of gratitude. It is to become for us a primary spiritual practice. Amen.